thank you once again to be, because we are partakers of what you are doing at this time and in this dispensation. Father, we thank you because the reason you have gathered us together is to use us as a channel of expression of your ability to love, to bless, and to showcase what it means to be rooted in you. My Father, my God, even as we hear your word this afternoon, I pray that your word will bear fruit and bring forth results in every life here today in Jesus' name. Lord, everyone that will hear me by reason of the word they will hear today, Lord, they will move to another level and another dimension of a relationship with you in Jesus' name. Father, it will be of you, of them, that Lord Jesus, that their families and the generations after them will be people who will stand and be counted for your name, because this morning or this afternoon the conversional experience will take place in such a way that they will place you above everything in their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. First of all, let me talk about the testimony. For those of us who don't understand the language that let's continue to give testimony, because God is faithful. Secondly, talking about testimony, I don't think it should pass without me saying something. Maybe some of us did not realize what happened last week. While we were all seated here, and one of our sisters drove, and she meant to park her car just at the side there. And probably instead of pressing brake, she probably pressed the accelerator and, just hit the wall. Hence, the sound we heard, you know. And many of us were scared. And that's the kind of thing the enemy would like to see, so as to challenge our testimony. But thank God, because we are victorious and we will continue to be victorious in Jesus' name. And I want to tell you, as you propose in your heart to serve him, it does not matter what he throws at you. Remember, as we read earlier on in 2 Kings, when the servant of Elijah saw the many, 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 many foes against them, and God just opened his eyes to see the host of heaven that was ready to stand in their defense, He was baffled. I want to let you know that the host of heaven is ready to stand in your defense, and he will defend you in Jesus' name. Can we open our Bibles to Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 15 to 20 is what we are going to read. I want to share with us a very familiar story. So if it's so familiar that we all know it, then why am I sharing it? Praise the Lord. The Bible says God calleth those things that be not as though they were. But I don't really like the way English put it. I like the way the Yorubas normally say it. You know, he has a way of making his words new. He will just bring something out. And I want to share with you this morning what I believe God wants you to know from his word. Judges 16, verse 15 to 20. We all know the story of Samson, don't we? Good. We know, again, you won't be surprised why we are looking at Judges, because that is the place I've been studying. Okay, praise the Lord. And God has been speaking to me from there. So, we know the story of Samson, how God used or intended to use him to liberate his people. It was at the time that people were doing whatever they liked, as we read. And it was his turn to shine. And I will say to you, when it is your turn to shine, your son will not go down before his time in Jesus' name. We know the story. The son of Samson went down before his time. And that's why I'm praying that that will not be our story in Jesus' name. Samson was empowered by God to do exploit at his time. And you are empowered by God to do exploit at this time. You will not miss your opportunity in Jesus' name. We want to read the story of the end of the life of Samson. And she said unto him, that is Delilah, said unto him, how can thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lies. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Ah, your soul will not be vexed unto death in Jesus' name. In other words, when Samson didn't know what to do again, he felt, you know, I would just do anything to get rid of her or to make her stop troubling me. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there had not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. You will not be an ordinary man. You will not be an ordinary woman in Jesus' name. What God has invested in you to distinguish you, you will not lose it in the mighty name of Jesus. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he had shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. The Lord will not depart from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe I'll read another version for verse 20. Then she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as I have time after time and shake myself free. For Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. What a tragedy. When we read a story like this, I'm sure what you expect will be different from what I'm going to say. So the topic for this morning is tokens of love. Praise the Lord. Tokens of love is what we are going to talk about. When we talk about token of love, we always think of something physical, usually something tangible that we can see, hold, taste, handle, see, you know, and use. But I want us to, you know, look at the tokens of God's love in the broader sense of it. And the other thing that I found out about God and his relationship with us is that when we actually look at what is ideal in our relationship with each other, if we apply what is ideal in our relationship with each other to the way we relate with God, it will work, right? If we do exactly what is ideal, you know, in our relationship, we do it with God, it will work. Therefore, there are things that strengthen relationships. Those kind of things that will strengthen the relationship between you and I, many of those things will also strengthen the relationship between us and God if we apply them to our lives. In other words, every child of God has the opportunity for consistency in their relationship with God and in their relationship with men, so that what we do, the way we relate with God, we can relate with men if in sincerity we want to serve him. And of course, a stronger relationship with God means a deeper. God will choose to do great and mighty things in the life of some people and not others. What makes the difference is the strength of the relationship that God has with the individuals that determines the expression of the greatness and of the power of God in the lives of that person. And the kind of thing that strengthen relationship, you will agree with me, will include some of the things that we are going to talk about. Relationship is strengthened by trust, isn't it? Trust. And of course, the expectation of God from you and I is that we trust him when things are going well, and when things are not going too well, the Lord wants us to be able to trust him. The Lord wants us to trust him when it looks like other people are even doing better than you are doing. When it looks like his word is not working in your life. Remember, we read from Deuteronomy chapter 4 this morning that the word of God shall be your wisdom. And you agree with me, sometimes when you try something that you think is good, is a good plan, it may not bring result immediately. When you apply the wisdom of the word of God, God still wants you to trust him even when it looks like it is not working. So trust is a big thing with God, just like trust is a big thing with you. One of the greatest things, one of the things that many will make many of us break our relationship with people is when we cannot trust them. How many of us will want to have friends that when you speak to them, before you know it, the whole of Perth is aware of what you have told them? Or You have a friend, and it happens that the time they came is the time you know all these wonderful times we have together, husband and wives. And then we have these moments when the oil needs changing, praise the Lord. And the iron start to rub against each other. You know those moments of friction. It may be that time that friend is, and they happen to know, and before you know it, the whole town is aware what has happened in your house. They are not the people you want to make your friend. So trust with God is a very important thing too in our work with Him. That's why he says, if you read the whole of Psalm 37, basically it's about trusting God. Let me just read a few bits of it. Let's read from let me just read a few of the verses there. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquities, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. It's trust, 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 trust. God values people who will trust him. Not people who will say, look at brother so-and-so. After all, he doesn't go to church. Look at sister so-and-so. She's not as committed as me. Yet, look at what is happening in their lives. Look at Mr. So-and-so. He doesn't even know how to pray. Look at what is happening in his life. What about me? God wants people whose hearts, the other word for trust in the Bible is stay. The Bible says, blessed is the man whose heart stays on the Lord, who will stay, who will be immovable, irrespective of the circumstance. So trust is a big thing with God. And the level of trust that God expects from us is the level that Job expressed in Job chapter 13, verse 15. In Job chapter 13, verse 15, Job poured out his mind to God, telling God how much he was prepared to trust him. And he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Though he slays me, I will trust him. And I will do what? I will maintain my ways before him. In other words, irrespective of what is happening, I will continue to do that which is good that I know to do. Because the Bible tells us, it said, that we should continue to do good. In due time, your reward will come. Another thing that deepens our relationship with God is dependability. You do not only want to trust your friend. It's not only, you can trust your friend that, yes, he will keep your secrets, he will be there for you. You also want to know that they are dependable. Brother so-and-so, look, I urgently have to go somewhere. And I've left my kids at home by themselves. Please. When it is about 3:20, they will be back from school. Can you just drive by so that when they get home, they will actually meet an adult? Brother, sister, so-and-so say, yes, I will do it. 3:20. I will be there. And you go. One thing that would deepen relationship is when you don't have to worry. You are so sure that 3:20, except the life of this person is taken away, they will be there at 3:20 to receive your kids, you can be rest assured that they are going to meet an adult at home. God is not too different from us in that regard. He wants dependable people. Because God himself is dependable in words, and he's dependable in his actions. He expects his children to be dependable so that when he sends you, you will do exactly what he says you should do. If you look at Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes." Just look at the level of responsibilities that God has given to those upon whom he will deposit his spirit. Therefore, you have to be dependable for God to be able to entrust this, the enormity of this task, into your hand. You can read on. So God needs dependable people to be able to do it. You know what? For a lot of people, the place where the broken hearted is meant to be mended is the place where the heart is broken further. For a lot of people, where their injury is meant to be nursed is the place where their injury is widened. The church, for example, is a place where people are to be nurtured, nursed, amended. Praise the Lord. But a whole lot of times, sometimes we even make our own wounds worse. God wants people he can depend upon to reach out to the brokenhearted. On Saturday, I saw a patient. I've spoken about this patient before. Highly placed woman, very highly placed. When we started to talk about her background and things like that, she started crying. So we talked around it, and at the end of the day, she asked me, said, "Look," he said, "how come you have this calming effect?" He said, "because when I was coming this morning," he said, "look, I felt so hopeless." I'm talking about yesterday. He said, "I felt so hopeless. Was like everything, you know." He said, "but how come?" If people are going to come to us, they must know that when they come, their sufferings will be soothed. Praise the Lord. We need to be dependable. And do you know, one of the tricks of the enemy in order to take our focus away from what God has called us to do is to preoccupy us with internal squabbles, disagreements, and issues like that, hurts, pains. Once he can sow that seed in the house, I'm telling you, you will be so embittered, you'll be so enraged against each other, so we'll not even have time. In fact, everything that is said in church, you forget as soon as you walk out of the door. We will be so enraged that we will not have time to actually preach Christ to somebody. The Lord will heal his church in Jesus' name. Loyalty is a mark of friendship. It deepens friendship. God wants people who will be loyal in all situations. I've said this before also. Number four, when people share similar values. The Yoruba say something. Apology to us. I will say the English version. It says, birds of the same feather flock together, right? The Yoruba would say, Iwajo wa lanpe lore. In other words, you can only be friends with somebody who has similar character as yourself. And the Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So, sharing similar values. When God says this is where his heart is, that place better be where your heart is also. That deepens relationship. If God says, look, I want sinners saved, make sure that that is your passion. If God says, I want to liberate Perth, make sure that is your passion. If God says, look, I want to save the youths of this nation, make sure that is your passion. If the passion of God is your passion, you will succeed. In it, God will make a name for you. Everyone who has made God's passion their passion, God has always made a name for them. You know, I've always told us, you know how many people were there in the Bible? In the Bible days? During the time of Moses? Millions went away from Egypt. How come it was the names of very few people you that were written in the Bible? The Lord will write your name on the sands of time too, in Jesus' name. But the way to get there is to make God's passion your passion. Sharing similar values. Aha. The other thing that makes us, that deepen friendship, is getting to know and appreciate each other's needs, especially emotional needs, and doing something about it. In my course of work, I've had to counsel families, I see couples, I do a lot of work, and when you ask a lot of the women, I will say, look, how did things get to this point? How did things get to this point? And you say, look, he was very caring. He used to be very caring. I never knew he was like this. Look, he was very caring. It was because he was very caring that they, in the first place, decided to marry them. He wasn't like this. I can tell you, if he was like this, I wouldn't have married him. But he was so caring. He was so wonderful. One of the things that deepens relationship is being perceptive, appreciating each other's needs, and doing something about it. If you have been very caring, why are you not so caring now? Why are you not so caring now? Why were you so caring then and not now? Husband, wives, why are you not so as caring as you used to be? Why then? I'm not going to tell you details, but I remember when I was doing housemanship, I remember how much I used to earn. Okay, I'll even tell you. I used to earn 510 naira. 510 naira. Convert it to Australian dollars. How much would that be? $15. Okay. And one day when my fiancée, or now my wife, wanted a pair of shoes. I remember I bought her a pair of shoes for 110 naira out of that 510. Praise the Lord. Because I cared. why can't I spend the same percentage now? No, I remember very well. I cared. When I collected the 510, she needed those pair of shoes. I went and bought it. Praise the Lord. It deepens relationship. One of the things that deepens relationship is helping in the times of difficulties. In the times of trouble. It deepens relationship. Somebody may be asking me, how is this relevant to God? When God says, this is my passion, and you see a need, and you go to meet that need, remember what God said is this. Jesus will say, look, on that day, I will talk about how you fed me, how you gave me water, and you say, when? When did I do it? And Jesus said, when you do to the least of these ones, anything you do to the least of these ones, you've done to me. This is where it matters. Helping in the times of difficulties. Do you know that one of the things that God held against Edom, we know who the Edomites were. The Edomites were the descendants of Esau. And when they were leaving the land of Egypt, God instructed the Israelites. He said, when you pass through the land of the Edomites, do not fight battle with them. Do not do what? Do not fight battle, because they are your brothers. He said, don't fight with them. What you will do is this. You just pass through their land. So when Moses brought the children of Israel and got to the land of the Edomites, what did he do? He spoke to the Edomites and said, please, can we pass through your land? They said, no. But the Edomites did not stop there. They went ahead and joined themselves to the people of the other lands to fight the children of Israel. Many, many years down the track, what did God say? He said, because you join yourself to strangers to fight against your brother, this will come upon you. Because in the time of their need, what am I saying? I'm telling you that God has a need too. How do I mean? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And with him, everything is possible. But what do I mean that God has a need? Sometimes God has an agenda that he's prosecuting and using people to do. And when God puts you in a position to bring about the agenda of God, to bring it to fruition, if you don't do it, you are not deepening your relationship with him. That is why you need to be careful. You need to know where to sow. You need to know the heartbeat of God. You need to know God's agenda for the hour. Otherwise, you begin to sow to the wrong place. The Edomites didn't know. So they didn't sow when they were supposed to sow. You will sow when you are supposed to sow, in Jesus' name. Of course, honesty deepens relationship. And of course, giving. We know that God is a giver, isn't it? He's a giver. At least the only verse of the Bible that I know, John 3:16. God is a giver. He gave his all. And this morning when we were asked to give offering, we were told that for Abraham's blessings to be our own, we must do what Abraham did. He gave his all. It deepened friendship. It deepened friendship. Can I give us an example of a giver in the Bible? Who could call upon his gifts apart from Abraham? What about King Hezekiah? When the time came And he was told that it was time for him to die. What did he do? He called upon the name of the Lord and said, Father, you know, this is the way I stood before you. This is what I have done in your sight. This is what I've done in your house, in your presence. This is the way I have served you. This is the your prophet has come that it is time for me to die. I don't want to die yet. And the Bible said, as the prophet was going, God instructed him and said, go back and tell him that 15 years has been added to his life. Your gift can make a way for you. When you give gifts, it can make a way for you. It can stand as a memorial before God. And of course, one other way to deepen relationship is sealing a relationship by covenant. And that is the highest, the most profound way of sealing a relationship. And that is what God has done with us. To seal a relationship with us with the covenant of the blood of Jesus. And that covenant covers a lot of things. It covers a lot of things. If you look at everything that I've spoken about, there are things, there are tokens of God's love towards us. His dependability, his loyalty, his sharing. When we have a desire, God says he will grant the desires of our heart. In other words, he shares our desires. They are tokens of God's love towards us that we can tap upon. These tokens of love or the assurance of them can never replace the original love. What is a token of love cannot in itself replace the original love. In other words, If I give my wife a ring, it's for her to look at and remember that, you know, John loves her. But that does not really replace the love I have for her. Now you are going to ask me, how is all this thing related to what we have read in Judges? Praise the Lord. In the life of Samson, he valued his relationship with man more than his relationship with God. The Bible said his spirit was vexed. That woman, look, and it's a life pattern. If you look at the story of Samson, you will notice that it's the same way he's approached his life, as powerful as he was. His spirit was vexed with Delilah asking him of his strength. If you look at how many times Delilah actually tried, you wonder what was going in his head. It looks like his brains were in his muscles and not up here. Because each time he told this woman that he had this power, this is what was needed to be done to disempower him, the woman would go ahead and try it. And then, of course, he would stand up. If somebody has been trying that, then you know that it doesn't portend something good for you. But still, he valued human relationship far above the relationship he had with God. The other thing about Samson was the fact that he mistook the token of the love of God or the God's gift in his life, his strength, for the source. And God was his source. Remember what he told the woman? He said, look, my hair has never been shaven. If you can cut it, my power would disappear. That hair, what it represented was a mark of covenant. That was not the source of his power. The source of the power in the life of Samson was the Spirit of God that dwelt with him. That was what the Bible told us. The Bible said, he said, I will rise up and I will go like other times. And the Bible said, he wished not, he did not know that the Spirit of God had left him. The Spirit of God will not leave you in Jesus' name. His covenant with God was to preserve the relationship, thereby guarantee continued supply of strength. But the moment he broke that relationship, the tap was turned off. The tap for your provision will not be turned off in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit monitors our compliance with the terms of the covenant. And as soon as the Holy Spirit noticed that Samson was no longer compliant with the terms of the covenant, he did what? Exit. He left. Going back to husbands once again. Man, do you know man is created for a testimony and an evidence of the existence of God? If you look at Romans chapter 1 verse 18 to 20, that's what we are created for. The Bible actually tells us, it said, look, the things that we see tells is enough sermon to people in the world. That's why we are, no one has excuse. And man is created for that purpose. We are created for a testimony and an evidence of the existence of God. That is why each time you see a human being perform outstanding feats, I want you to see it as simply God giving you a glimpse into possibilities within the realm of his kingdom. When you see man perform things, it should just give you a glimpse into the greatness of the kind of God we serve. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God ceded some power to man. He said, and let us create man in our own image. And let him have dominion. And let him have what? Dominion. Let us make in our image after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over. God ceded some degree of power to man. Man had no power in himself, but God ceded some degree of power. And the other thing that God ceded to man, in order to make man effective in what God wanted man to do, he also ceded some willpower to him to do what he wants him to do, to be able to exercise that dominion, that level of power that he ceded to man. That too was a token of God's love. And what happened? Once the relationship was broken, the power was lost. Is it not similar to what happened to Samson? Every time we don't cultivate our relationship with God, then we cannot be who God wants us to be in his kingdom. We are going to limit the greatness that God has proposed for our lives. So it is for us as children of God to tend that relationship. That is the duty. That is the duty, that is the portion that God has given us, that we work that relationship and make it work with him. And every other thing will follow. But what often happens is this, just like it happened in the garden. When a man becomes preoccupied with the tokens of the love of God, the gifts that come with his love, when you become preoccupied with it, then the relationship becomes lost. The relationship is not attended to. The relationship does not receive the necessary attention. And then what happens is this: once the relationship is broken, the token of love itself will be lost eventually. You will not lose that which God has given you in Jesus' name. You will be like the one who has received talents. It will multiply in your hands in Jesus' name. The loss of that relationship is what brings spiritual death. And where the spiritual death is, that is, the spirit has left. Of course, all sort of things can happen. Because as soon as the spirit left Samson, what happened? The Bible said, and she afflicted him. As long as the Spirit of God is in your life and His presence is with you, the enemy cannot afflict you. But as soon as you allow Him to go, the enemy will start to afflict you. He will not prevail over you in Jesus' name. That house, those children, that voice, that intellect, that wisdom, that connection, they are all tokens of God's love for you. They are not meant to replace that relationship. Because once the relationship is broken, the Spirit of God lives. He will not leave you in the mighty name of Jesus. I told you, the power was not in the hair of his head. The power was in the Spirit of God. The hair represented, it was a token of covenant between Samson and God. The covenant needs to be reestablished, and the relationship needs to be restored and strengthened for your victory. Every time we are measuring below that level at which God wants us to function, we need to reestablish that covenant and restore that relationship. Let's quickly look at Samson as we close. Go back to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. I will read verses 22 and 28. I don't know if anyone in the house this morning, I don't know what vision God has shown you. I don't know what you think are the possibilities in your walk with God. But one thing I want you to know is what is important is that relationship. The more you deepen that relationship, the more God will manifest in your life. It's so important. It's so crucial. In Judges chapter 16, 22 and 28, it says, "How be it the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. The mark of the covenant started to come back." And then in verse 28, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that they may be at once avenged of the fleetings for my two eyes." In other words, Father, restore your spirit in me. Let that relationship be reestablished. In you, there is my power. In you, I cannot be defeated. Let me tell you something. If we will maintain that relationship with you, with him, victory is sure. I say victory is sure. Victory over the world is sure. That fear that you have, that thing that you think may go wrong in your life, all you need is to establish that strong relationship with God. And I will tell you, he will bring his good counsel to pass concerning you in Jesus' name. Pursue that relationship. Pursue that relationship by all means. Entreat him. Do all you can. In closing, when you pursue that relationship, you must remember not to look at people. Don't let people dictate the way you relate to God. I'm telling you, don't ever. My children will tell you something. I like when I read something that is exciting, I come to share it with them. You know? And for this week, I read something that I shared with them, and I'm going to share it with us. It says, and I want us to apply it to the work, to our work with God. And it says, be yourself. The world worships the original. Somebody said it. I won't mention the name. He said, be yourself. The world worships the original. As children of God, if you are true to God and just serve Him and not serve Him so the world can see, or so that the world, you know, not the way other people serve Him, pretending. If you truly serve Him and you are yourself true to Him, the world will eventually follow you. Because when you are yourself, the world worships the original. They know the original Christian. They know the true Christian when they see one. They know the fake Christian when they see one. If you and I will stay true, people will follow us to our God. In Jesus' name. Can we just rise on our feet and pray? You have heard the word of God, and I want you to just go to the God and just, based on what you have heard, and pray to God and say, Father, make me a dependable friend of yours. Make me a trustworthy friend of yours. Make me a reliable friend of yours. Lord, make me a true friend of yours. I want to deepen my relationship with you. Because your power derives from that relationship. He's your joy. He's your hope. He's your strength. He's your victory. Therefore, you cannot allow anything to come between you and God. Nothing is strong enough. Nothing can take His place in your life, because nothing can do what He can do in your life. I want you to begin to speak to the Lord. If you have lost it in any way, if you are no longer as versatile as you used to be, if you are no longer as committed as you used to be, this is the time for restoration. This is the time to take up that responsibility again. This is the time to pray like you used to pray. This is the time to stand up and be counted for the Lord. And the Lord will honor you. The Lord will honor you for standing at this time. Speak to the Lord right now. He can do great and mighty things with you and in your life and the life of everyone that will come in contact with you. Through you, He can do great things. That is what is important. Not the tokens of His love, but He Himself should be your desire. Should be the one you want to apprehend and take hold of. Not the tokens of His love. All the good things, they are tokens of His love. They are not the real thing. God is the deal. God is the deal in my life. God is the deal in your life. And because of Him, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Everything is possible. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you because you have spoken to us. Our Lord and our God. The entrance of your word gives light. And it gives understanding even unto the simple. The people of this assembly, they are not created to be mere people. They are created to be great people and influencers of men. By reason of the word they have heard today, as they hold it dear to their hearts, my Father, my God, they become effective in their lives in Jesus' name. Your light will never be hidden again. I say your light will never be put out again in Jesus' name. The light of Samson was put out because his eyes were gouged out. That will not be your story in the mighty name of Jesus. You are positioned for greatness. You are effective in greatness. in the mighty name of Jesus. You are blessed above course in Jesus' name. The lines will start to fall onto you in pleasant places. When they divide the portion, you will have a greater portion in Jesus' name. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' wonderful and mighty name, we pray.